I love opportunities. For the past 9 years, I do these home fitness programs, and I always get very excited when I have a chance to start a 90-day program, whatever, to increase my endurance, increase my athleticism, build muscle. Some people ask, Father Justin, why do you want to build muscle? And I say to them, well, you know, the body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? I just like to give the Holy Spirit more room to work. Well, we all love opportunities. That's why when people ask us, how are you doing, we quite often we speak about our opportunities. I just joined a new group at church. I'm starting reading a book. I started a new course. We love to talk about what will give us a chance to improve and to grow. I've mentioned before how many people, they go through the same problems every year. So it starts off in January, things are good. And then they get to March. And then they have a crisis, they have a really good cry. And then things go back to normal. You know what happens next year, right? January's good. March, a nervous breakdown, crisis, call Father Justin, solves all your problems. And then things are back to normal. You know what's going to happen next year, right? Same crisis. Why do they keep on making the same mistakes? Because they're missing the opportunities that God's giving them. The first reading is about the greatest failed opportunity. And then the gospel is about redeeming this opportunity lost. The first reading is about Adam and Eve. They're getting tempted by the devil to disobey God the Father, to not trust him. And it says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. You see this temptation? It's broken down into three deceptions. Do you see them? It says, the tree is good for food, a delight to the eyes, and desire to be make one wise. And it's really interesting. That's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, St. John the Apostle, he talks about three similar temptations. He says this, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father. Three temptations, we usually give these names, the temptations of lust and greed, and then pride. Let's quickly break them down. What is lust? Lust is disordered sexual desire. Sexual desire is good, but when it's disordered, it's very bad. So we've talked about this when we use people sexually. And we've mentioned how men will typically use love to get sex, and then women, they will use sex to get love. Both are sinful, both are wrong. Now, lust isn't just disordered sexual desire in particular. You can also use it to talk about a greater disorder. Any disordered search for pleasure. Pleasure is really good. God gave us pleasure, and we're supposed to seek after it to go towards something good, to delight in it. But when you seek pleasure apart from what's really there, the deeper good, you get something really bad. So whenever we seek the pleasure of eating apart from nourishment, you become gluttonous and unhealthy. When priests do this, they become monsignors. Whenever we seek the pleasure of buying things, it feels really good to buy things. It feels really good. It's good. I like buying stuff. But if you seek the buying things all the time just for the pleasure of it, you become wasteful. You become superficial. And when we are addicted to our phone, we always like the pleasure of getting the likes. We look for the messages all the time. You're looking at porn. Okay, then you become very unhealthy physically, relationally, emotionally, spiritually. Number two, greed. Greed means we're coveting the things we don't have. We always want to possess more. And related to greed is the sin of envy. So you look at someone else's life. They've got a great house, better than we do. They've got a better life, more talents. They look better than we do. And that will always sap your gratitude. And when you lose your gratitude, you lose your happiness. Because when you lose your gratitude, you start realizing, oh, I don't have all these good things. But you have so many good things already. And because you forget that, no gratitude, no happiness. And then number three, pride. Pride is the worst because it detaches us from reality. What's a reality? Reality is we're children of God, we're loved, we've got our strengths, and we've got our weaknesses, but when you're proud, you're insecure, and you've got a lot of anxiety. You're always trying to prove yourself, and you're always trying to compete. You really have to win all the time, and you get so much joy in winning, but you're devastated when you lose. Pride. So we've got these three temptations, and Jesus overcomes all three in the gospel. It says, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So Jesus is preparing for his mission, and he needs to prepare 40 days, 40 nights of fasting. And the devil's going to try and dissuade him, so he's going to give him three temptations according to these three sins. First, the devil says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. You get this one? You understand this temptation? He's fasting. He's hungry. So the devil's saying, make bread. Can't do that. You can't break the fast. So Jesus responds. And what is this, right? This is lust of the flesh, right? This is a disordered desire for pleasure. What does Jesus respond? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. There's got to be more important things than the body, and there are. So I want you to start thinking, what do you more deeply desire this year? Where is the dissatisfaction? Because if you can pinpoint the greater good, you have to sacrifice to get to that greater good. You have to sacrifice the pleasure, the immediate satisfaction to get something good. Happiness and discipline always go together. So they're always proportionate. You want more happiness, you need more discipline. The most happy people in the world are always the most disciplined. They always go together. You want more happiness, you need more discipline. Start thinking right away, what do you more deeply desire this year? What do you desire this Lent? And are you willing to sacrifice for it, or are you just going to live by bread alone? Second temptation. Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on, the holy city is Jerusalem, placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, very high up, saying to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, jump off, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. The angels are going to save you. What sin is this? What temptation is this? This is pride. I'm going to get God to serve me. I'm going to do something unreasonable, and God's going to magically rescue me. And what does he say? Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Really interesting, those words of Jesus. Jesus is actually quoting the Old Testament here. So in the Old Testament, these exact words are taken from that time when the Jewish people are in the desert, and they just got rescued from Egypt. They saw all these great wonders of God. God is with them. They get to the desert. They stop believing in him. They stop feeling his presence, and they test him. I want to feel your presence. Now, this happens to a lot of us. We experience God's love, and then we don't feel his presence anymore, and we say, I want to feel your presence. And when we don't feel his presence, we stop being faithful to our prayer. We stop being generous. We stop going to the chapel. We stop being having that spirit of service. And we want to make God serve us. Wrong. We serve him. No pride. Third temptation. The devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, all these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. What sin is this? Greed, lust of the eyes. I want more. How does Jesus respond? Worship the Lord your God. Serve only him. So a lot of us have experienced the joy God has given us, this love, this very deep satisfaction. It fills us. But we're always tempted to go back to a cheap happiness. I want more. I want to get more stuff. And a lot of us, what do? We sacrifice our health to work more. We sacrifice our family. We sacrifice our friendships to earn more money, to get more stuff. So much greed. And Jesus said, just saying, just focus on him alone. You focus on him alone and everything else will come. Get rid of the greed. Get rid of that envy. So I want to give you two opportunities this Lent to grow. Opportunity number one, Jesus is our example. You have a chance this Lent to imitate Jesus. So whenever we get to Lent, I get really excited because I want to go into the desert with him. He's going there 4 days. I want to go. Why? I want to face my problems. I want to overcome my sins. So I've got this opportunity. I will do battle with Jesus. We're starting a new season today. We just finished off Life is a Gift for 1 month, and now we're going into a very long season called Loving the Liturgy. I want to explain the more of the liturgy to you, so if you can appreciate it, you will learn to love it, and you'll get so much more out of it. Quick definition, what is the liturgy? Let's distinguish it between liturgy and devotions. Devotions are rosary, reading the Bible, stations of the cross. Those are prayers done by individuals and by groups of Christians, really good. But liturgy is the public prayer of the church. It's the official prayer of the Catholic Church, principally the Mass, and then other sacraments. So if you can start understanding the liturgy, you're going to receive so much more. Let's look at this chart of the liturgical year to see what God is offering us in different seasons. Start at the top, at Advent, and we'll go clockwise. So in Advent, we go into this season, and God wants to offer us preparation. We get into the season white of Christmas. God wants to offer us joy. And then ordinary time, what's that? God wants to offer us the gift of stability. One thing I've been noticing in a lot of us here is lack of spiritual stability. We're having all these ups and downs in our spiritual lives, and it's really hurting us. So we're going to talk about spiritual stability soon. And then we'll come back to Lent. We get to Easter in white. What does Jesus offer us? Mission and triumph. So now we are in the season of Lent. And the church is telling us it's time to fast. You notice what's interesting? You know in the regular civic calendar, it tells us when the weekend is. It tells us when there's Christmas and all these other BC Day, Family Day. It tells us when to rest. It tells us when to celebrate. The civic calendar never tells us when to fast. And when you don't have any time to fast, you become spiritually weak and you become too comfortable. So the church's calendar also tells us when to celebrate. Also tells us now it's time to fast. So we're going to change the way we celebrate Mass to get into a more of a desert experience. So when we celebrate Mass during Lent, we want to experience simplicity, a barrenness. We want to strip away the excess, cut away the noise, reflect, and we're going to start asking the Holy Spirit for insight. So like last year, we're not going to have a recessional hymn at the very end. So at the very end of Mass, we're going to leave in silence. The altar servers, deacon, and I, we're all going to process out in silence. And we're going to resist that temptation to talk until we're out the door. And we did very well last year. We'll do it again this year. We're also processing in and out through the side door. Change things up. It also gives me a chance to say hello to those people who normally avoid me by going out the side door. We're also not going to play the organ, so that the singing is very sober. We're taking out the incense, no flowers, purple is our color, sign of penitence, turning away from sin, no St. Michael's prayer at the end. We're going to do the Apostles' Creed, not the Nicene Creed. You'll also notice that the altar is being simplified, no more silver candlesticks, brass candlesticks, and a very prominent black crucifix. Let's get into the desert with Jesus. That's opportunity number one. Opportunity number two. Jesus wants to live the desert experience in us. He wants to live it in us. So this is what it says according to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Christ enables us to live in him all that he himself lived. And he lives it in us. He enables us as the members of his body to share in what he lived. This is a very abstract teaching, really powerful if you start to understand this. Jesus wants to live his events in us. So I'll explain this. When Jesus went into the desert, he conquered the devil with obedience and love and trust. What he wants to do is live those same virtues in our lives so he can live the desert experience in us. I'll give you another example. Let's say you want more physical strength in your life. What you can actually do, because you are baptized, you're connected to Jesus, you can start drawing on his virtues whenever you want. You say, Jesus, I want more physical strength. Jesus, can you give me the physical strength you had when you were carrying the cross? Boom, you get it. You want more patience? Yes, Jesus, can you give me the patience you had when you're really frustrated with the apostles? You get more patience. And once you start wrapping your head around this spiritual ability, this spiritual offering, it changes everything. I want more joy. Jesus, can you live your resurrection in me? I get more joy because you're connected to him through your baptism. Start thinking about what you really need. Now, there are traditionally three forms of Lenten penance: prayer, fasting, almsgiving. And notice that all three, they conquer those three sins we've talked about. So prayer, what does that conquer? Conquers pride. Prayer, fasting. Fasting, what does that conquer? The lust of the flesh, disordered desire for pleasure. And then almsgiving, which is generosity with your time, talent, and treasure, that conquers the greed. If you can, write your Lenten penances down. That's what I do. Are you going to go to the chapel more, pray the rosary, buy a spiritual book and read it? Is it Tuesday night Stations of the Cross? Is it getting to some more daily masses? Some men do a program called Exodus 90, a 90-day spiritual program to grow, overcome lust. Some women do what's called Fiat 90, 90-day program to grow. Some men are on the E5 program. Every first Wednesday of the month, they only eat bread and water for their wives or for their girlfriends. For today, we just want to focus, what desire has God put into our hearts? And have a devout conversation with someone about this. Talk to someone about where God is calling you. Jesus has defeated the devil. He wants to live that victory in us. We have an opportunity to grow with him.